The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So, I'm going to be talking about faith, doubt, and trust. And I understand that some people have trouble with these words, especially faith and trust. And we all have different understandings of what they mean to us. And I am going to be using the words because they actually mean something to me. And they're actually been a big part of my koan, for those of you who know that word, and a big part of my training, having faith and having doubt and having trust and not having faith, not having doubt, not having trust, on and on. And also I'm going to be talking about how my understanding and my experience of these has changed over the many years of training. And I hope that this will encourage you, those of you who are new, to persevere, because things do change and faith does grow. And it's just a good thing to do. All around, it's a good thing to do, to never give up, just to keep on going. So I came here in 1973, and I came with... I don't know how I managed to get here, since I felt like I had no faith, but I must have had something in there to get me to come here. But I'm not even sure I understood what faith was, but I was sure I didn't have it. And I didn't grow up in a religious home, and I didn't have faith in the usual sense of in a higher power or in something greater than ourselves. I didn't have much, if any, faith in myself. And again, I really didn't know what this meant. And yet the first time I came here, something really resonated with me. I don't know if it was the teaching or if it was the training of the monks who were giving the teaching or if it was seeing Reverend Master Jiyu or just something here. But something resonated, something touched my heart and felt right. And I actually, as you know, as you can see, I came back and I became a monk fairly soon after that. Having or not having faith has meant a lot to me. And I would go back and forth between the two. And and I longed for certainty because that would end the dilemma of whether I had faith or not, or I didn't have faith. And I remember... sitting in here in meditation during one of our monastic retreats, and this was after, you know, I think 6 or 7 days, and the retreat had gone fine, and suddenly all these thoughts of doubt were going through my head, and it was went on and on and on, and I couldn't seem to let them go. They just kept going on and on and on, and, you know, gee, did I have faith? Did I not have faith? And I went outside after the meditation period, and something deep within started smiling and laughing and saying, what do you mean you don't have faith? You know, it's like, you know, you've been here all these years. And it was just very reassuring, but we don't always get that reassurance. And whenever someone had doubts, even if I was feeling faith the moment before, my own doubts would kick in. So it was, as I say, back and forth and back and forth. And I'm not even sure I knew what doubts were at that time. That was kind of nebulous, too. It was just kind of like a feeling or a thought. And in those days, when, in the very early days, when doubts would arise, I would just go with them and believe in them. And that was that. And then at some point, faith would come back. But as my training went on, having faith became very important to me. And having doubts was really difficult. And so when doubts would arise, and sometimes I noticed that doubts would arise when a situation brought on some old karmic feelings. And suddenly there would be this huge doubt. Or as I say, when somebody else was doubting, it would just bring up my own doubts. So so again, the doubt was there, but I'm not even sure what the doubt was about. You know, if you look at doubt, what is it? It's just sometimes a passing thought or a passing feeling that grabs hold of us and takes root, and we go with it. In the early days, of course, my doubts were sometimes about the teaching. You know, could I believe in this teaching? Because I was very new, even though it had resonated with me. And sometimes they were about the teacher herself. You know, can I really trust this person? Is she really genuine? Although I knew that she was. But anyway, there they'd be, and there I'd go. So, and again, as I was saying, when faith became very important to me and kind of the holding on of faith, and I guess the feeling of faith, when doubts would arise, I would try to do something to get the faith back. I would either try and be very still in meditation and look for the faith, or I would cry out for help. I was always going to Avalokiteshvara for help. And calling out for help. And I always got a response in some way or another. But I would be trying desperately to get my faith back, which didn't always work. And at one point, another monk gave me this rock that had a beautiful gem inside. It was an amethyst, but it was crusted over by all this dark crud. And she said, you can use this as a teaching aid. And unfortunately, I don't have it anymore. I'm not sure quite what I did with it. But if you can think of yourself as this beautiful gem within this massive, crusty rock, or as a burning candle within a jar covered over with crud, then you can understand why it can be difficult at times to have faith in that gem or to have faith in that crud. No. You know, why do you have faith in that crud? It's just crud. or have faith in that burning candle, because it's covered over. And there's always a sense of it there. Because one of the laws of the universe is that all beings have an intuitive knowledge of Buddha nature. So it's always there within all beings, that intuitive knowledge and that sense of something deeper, something beautiful. And but sometimes we're totally unaware of it. And the karma, which is the crud, our old karmic habits, the our conditioned views, we've known so long and they seem so believable, and we act on them. And so it's hard to see or believe in the gem at times. But it's always there, and it's what keeps us coming back. It's what got us here, and it's what keeps us coming back, and it's what keeps us picking ourselves up after we believed in the crud acted on it. It's that something that keeps us going, and it's always there. And this beautiful gem, this burning candle, is Buddha nature, which we all have, clouded over by our karmic habits and all the other stuff that goes on with us. For me, when doubt came, it was all that was there, and I believed it. And when faith came, that was all that was there, and I believed that too. And I'd have a sigh of relief when faith came and distress when doubt came. So this is how it used to be, and it is changing. It's changing all the time. And I have found for myself, this is why I recommend perseverance, is that something always came through for me in the end. And sometimes it was something within myself, sometimes it was another person, sometimes it was a teaching that would come through, but there was always something helping me. And there's always something helping all beings if we are willing to look and willing to hear and willing to see. One time when I was new to training in 1975, I was having great doubts in the teaching and in everything. And I ended up leaving here. And as soon as I left, of course, I wanted to come back because Buddha nature was calling me back. And yet I had to be away for a while. Reverend Master Jiyu said to me, I have faith in you, but until you have faith in yourself, I can't help you. And that was the wonderful thing about Reverend Master Jiyu, was that she had faith in all of us. I don't know if anything has changed in the many years that I've been here, but in those days, many women didn't have faith in themselves. You know, they felt very inadequate. But I've since learned that men feel inadequate as well. So we're not alone here. But she wouldn't believe in that. And she would encourage the women as much as the men. And she would tell you she had faith in you. And she would trust you to do the practice. And she wouldn't let you kind of give in to the inadequacy. When I left here in 1975, and there was a book, The Light of Asia, which I took with me, and a poem at the end of the book, which I read every single day. And that kind of kept me going until I could come back here. And two lines of it came to me when I was preparing this talk, and they were, "Unseen it helpeth ye with faithful hands. Unheard, it speaketh stronger than the storm." So even though we may not think it's there, it's always helping us. So now I'm going to go to the word trust And what did trust mean to me at that time? Perhaps it was trusting in myself, trusting in others. Could I trust in other people? Trusting that this was my own particular koan, so I don't expect everybody to have this as what trust meant to them, but that there was really a good, kind heart underneath all the karma, that I could actually change, respond from something other than my karmic habits, from greed, hate, and delusion, from protecting the self, respond from my meditation, that I had Buddha nature, that all beings did, and that there was truly selfless compassion, love, and wisdom. When I was giving a talk several weeks ago on I will trust in the eternal and not in my fears, when I started the talk, someone was having difficulty with the word trust because of what it had meant for him. And in talking to people about trust, I realized that everybody has, possibly not everybody, but we have different ideas of what we're thinking of when the word trust is used. And a lot of people there were using the word trust as whether they could trust another being. And someone said, well, if the person doesn't let me down or turns out to be trustworthy, then I see that I can trust the person. Or whether you can trust a situation, whether when you're in a particular situation, whether the situation goes well and you're able to handle it, then you start to trust in that. One of the lay people mentioned that, and this was more what I was trying to get at, was that trusting that you could be with fear, and that she was actually talking about trusting the eternal and not in my fear, and that you could actually be with the fear until it left, and you were sitting still in the midst of your Buddha nature during all that, and you were trusting in that and not in the fear. When we trust in the fear, then we're often afraid to even feel it. But you can actually be with fear and see that there's something deeper, there's something bigger than the fear. And I was actually trying to get to something even deeper than that. And I don't know if I got it across, but it was a trust that goes deeper than whether the person is trustworthy, because people can let you down and you still have trust. And the situation may not turn out as you would hope it would, and you can still have trust. So I'll try to go into that more. And Reverend Master Daishin Morgan, in his book, Buddha Recognizes Buddha, and in this journal article on trust, I think hits on it better than I can. And so I'm going to read from there as I go along. So I'm going to try and talk to you about how my experience of these three things has changed over the years. When doubts would arise in the past, and often doubts were accompanied by something being very dark and difficult, and I would try to, sometimes I would believe in what was coming up. I would believe in the karma that was arising, and I would act on the doubts. And this would not have good results, as you probably well know. We often have doubts when we don't want to feel the suffering. And we act on greed, hate, and delusion when we know better, when we're trying to avoid suffering. And I think when we get angry, which was always my avenue of, generally my avenue of going off, was defending, kind of a defense against my suffering and a defending of the self, if that makes any sense. And so I would act on this. And this, of course, would create more suffering, which is what we're trying to move away from. But gradually, my understanding and experience of doubt and faith have shifted so that when doubts arise, when darkness arises, when difficulties arise, I know that I have to train anyway, that I have to act from what I know to be true, that I can't really defend the self anymore in that way. Once you know better, it's really hard to continue in the karmic habits, although sometimes you fall into them again. As I found out yesterday. But anyway, we won't talk about that. needless to say, I'm very grateful for this shift, that I am now willing to, and it's been a very gradual shift, I am now willing to do the training despite how I feel. Although we all have ups and downs. We're, even with the best of intentions, we fall into our old ways. I had a very interesting experience a number of years ago when something happened which I was not happy about. And I spent 3 months being angry all the time. And after 3 months, something in me from deep within said, "You can't keep this up any longer. It's too hard. And just accept the circumstances." You would be surprised. It took 3 months after a number of years of training, but I hope my mistakes will help all of you in the future to see this sooner if you happen to fall into anger. Okay. Acceptance is a wonderful thing, and it takes it takes really the growing of faith to be able to accept situations, because faith that there's something deeper than the situation. There's something that holds us no matter what is going on. And that, in this circumstance, it was that acceptance was less painful than non-acceptance. So I just had to accept it. Okay, I'm going to read from this book, and Buddha Recognizes Buddha. This is a book that Rev. Master Daishin Morgan wrote, and he is the abbot of Throssell Hole in England. I'm going to read a small part of his chapter on faith, but I'm first going to read another chapter which will explain something that he says is in his chapter on faith. Okay. This is called The Wish for Enlightenment. Everyone would like to make sense of life, but for some people they need to explore life's meaning. But for some people, the need to explore life's meaning cannot be ignored. This need may have been awakened in us by experiencing particular events, or it may have been felt for as long as we can remember. To know such a call is to feel its insistence. Having felt it, one can hide by running to distractions of one kind or another, but whenever there is a pause in the business of life, it is there awaiting our response. And for me, I think this call came after graduating from college, because up until that point, my life had all been regulated. You know, you go to elementary school, you go to high school. In my family, you go to college. And after college, it was kind of like, well, what do I do now? I mean, I had a degree. I could have just gone and done that. But it was more my, this wish came through. What is the meaning of life? Is life meaningless? And it became kind of desperate. And that's what eventually got me here. So to go back to Rev. Master Daishin Morgan, this call is the greatest blessing imaginable, and it sometimes feels like torture. Even though it makes so many demands, we would be bereft without it. When we are able to acknowledge the presence of the wish, then the wish sets all the priorities of life. The insistence of the wish drives us to understand the wish itself. It is the wish that draws us to meditation. We may have rational reasons for meditating and undertaking Buddhist practice, but I suggest that what calls us is something much more fundamental. It may be that we have no explanation. All we know is that there is something here of the greatest importance, and that we cannot let our lives go by without exploring it to the full. And for me, that period of lack of purpose and of searching was about the most painful time in my life. It was very difficult, but it led me here and to finding what I was truly looking for. And I have talked to people in spiritual counseling who are going through a period like this, and it's really painful for them. And yet, I can see that if they continue and not give up, that it will be the greatest blessing, as Rev. Master Daishin Morgan says here. Because when we let go of how we've seen the world through our conditioned views and open to that, that there may be something more, that's what leads us to finding that something more. So now I'm going to go to his chapter on faith. Okay, where are you? Faith, manifested through our wish, enables us to realize enlightenment. However, we need to know that true faith is not the opposite of doubt, as faith does not exclude doubt. Rather, it is the willingness to let the doubt, along with every other thing in the universe, show itself fully. Faith does not oppose anything, since it springs from enlightenment itself. And this can be very reassuring. Instead of hating the doubt and trying to get to faith, we can just be with the doubt and let it show itself. It's interesting because as I was preparing this talk I started a few days ago, suddenly I was besieged by this incredible doubt. And, and I thought, okay, I'm just going to be with it. And it was great. I could just be with the doubt. And I didn't turn away from it. And it was something that needed to be looked at. So faith does not oppose anything, since it springs from enlightenment itself. We might be tempted to think that although that sounds great, it is totally beyond our experience, and so is irrelevant to getting on with training where we are. I hope this chapter will disturb such an assumption and point to how the faith that springs from enlightenment is active in training from the beginning, and that the process of recognizing it is the same process as awakening. Faith and awakening are not two. This faith is the Buddha nature, this intuitive knowledge of Buddha nature that we all have. This one about? What is it that draws us to seek the truth in the first place? This is an important question and one that is best not to get too theoretical about. We want to be more compassionate, to be more honest, to not fool ourselves or live in a fantasy. And I can really relate to this because I really wanted to find what was real, what was true. Acknowledging this wish is necessary if we are to realize it. Our wish to train may seem weak and erratic, but if we learn how to see it for what it really is, we will discover that there is nothing lacking within it. So as Rev. Master Daishin Morgan says, doubt is just another feeling within faith. The Buddha nature, this true faith that he is talking about, encompasses all our feelings. And yet, these things aren't easy to just be with. You know, a lot of our feelings, a lot of our suffering, a lot of the stuff that goes on in meditation and in our daily lives are not easy to just be with. And so it is the growing of our faith and our trust that allows ourselves to just be with these things within kind of the unknown. I recently did a month's retreat at our compassionate friend Hermitage. And at times in meditation, I would just know there was faith. And it wasn't like there was anything there. There was no certainty. There was no anything you could hold on to. There wasn't even a feeling of faith. But something in me just knew. And then at other times, doubt would arise really strongly. And I don't know if doubt is arising stronger lately because I'm more willing to be with it. But when it arises now, sometimes it can be very strong. And when the doubt arises, it's like there isn't anything there I can hold on to. Because it was kind of nebulous in the first place. The faith and the doubt, there wasn't anything I could say would assure myself that there really was faith. And this takes a lot of courage to just sit in the unknown. Sit in this place where we just don't know what will happen. And just let the doubts and whatever arises come and go. And this came up for me very clearly during that retreat when one night I gave in to the doubt, and the mind was racing. How can I have faith? How can I, you know, all this stuff. And the next morning, what came up was, you just have to have faith. You just have to have it, no matter what. You just have to keep going. You just have to let these things come and go and be in the unknowing. And I did it, and I had to do it, and it really helped. And so I think this is what years of training have allowed me to do. And I've always thought of myself as very slow. I've been here 41 years, and it's taken me a long time to get someplace that some people get to very quickly. But that's okay. It's slow for me. It's gradual. I don't mind. Well, I'm going to go back to Reverend Master Daishin Morgan and his article on trust. To trust in the religious sense is to rely utterly upon the Buddha nature. All beings are within Buddha nature, including oneself. So all beings are inherently trustable. To take refuge in the Buddha nature is to enter the realm that is beyond the opposites of the trusted and the untrusted. So this is what I was trying to talk about a bit when I said that the person you've trusted may let you down, and still you have to trust. There's this deeper trust. To take refuge in the Buddha nature, to entrust yourself to the Buddha nature, is to enter the realm that is beyond the opposites of the trusted and the untrusted. When this refuge is taken, all beings are trusted. Love and trust go together. In one's relations with beings, one is looking with the eye of the Buddha, and therefore seeing Buddha. There is a reliance upon the Buddha within oneself to know what is good to do, how to respond. That response is always an attempt to respond to the Buddha within the seeming other. It is Buddha greeting Buddha. The answer given may be no or yes. In either case, it is still the yes of Buddha greeting Buddha. Taking this refuge involves letting go of the self-centered self and its accompanying fears. This is not easy. After all, we have suffered at the hands of others and from our own mistakes, and it is hard to trust the seemingly insubstantial Buddha nature in the face of concrete desires. From the point of view of someone who mistrusts themselves or others, it is hard to imagine how one could trust so deeply that one could willingly let oneself go. Yet within the heart of someone suffering from mistrust, there is a deep wish to be able to trust. Because we intuitively recognize that mistrust causes isolation and makes us a stranger to love. Mistrust arises from the attempt to separate ourselves from that which is painful. The trouble is that when we succeed in separating ourselves, we are then an isolated self, seeking for love and unity, the very things we have abandoned in order to find safety. It seems impossible to trust when we are seeking to defend ourselves. So the kind of trust that Rev. Master Daishin Morgan is talking about is kind of a trust that I yearn for, and a trust that I am nurturing, and a trust that is growing, but I'm not quite there yet. So it's a work in progress, and that's okay. And I'd like to talk about how we nurture our faith and trust. Well, one thing is doing your meditation when you don't feel like it or when things are rough. The nice thing about training at the monastery is you have to go. So it doesn't matter how you feel or whether you don't want to go, you go. And that's very beneficial. But when you're training on your own, if you don't want to go, you don't go. And I have talked to people in spiritual counseling who have said they're going through a very difficult time. And I ask them, well, are you still meditating? And they say, no, I stopped when it got difficult. And it's really actually getting back to meditation that's the thing that will help them. So I encourage you to meditate during those difficult times. There is nothing in us. Our true nature does not judge us. It's just all embracing and accepts us for what we are. And I found last night that, you know, I had made a mistake yesterday, And it was just within myself. I'm sure nobody had any idea that it was going on. It was going on within my own mind. But I felt really badly. And that evening, when I was meditating, I just allowed myself to let what would come up, come up. And I felt the karma of having given in to that mistake within myself, if this makes any sense. And I just allowed myself to see it, and it was painful. But then what came from it was, I have to try harder not to make that mistake. It's just the self getting up to stuff, just greed getting up to stuff. And so today I learned from it, and I knew that I had to try harder in that area. So it was good. So we can sit with anything. So this is something that really nurtures trust, to get, just sit, to meditate anyway. Other things that encourage trust and faith are to doing what you know to be good, again, whether you feel like it or not. Keeping the precepts, whether you feel like it or not. Not giving into those karmic habits that seem like you really want to give into. Greed and anger are two good examples of things that can really pull us. Being still with what is difficult. Not shrinking away from what arises. Letting go in general. Being with not knowing, not trying to make something happen in meditation, to have things be different than what they are right now, to not try and have things be different than what they are right now, being with what is. And that can be very difficult, but it's being present in the moment with whatever is going on. And that's not easy. And it can be very difficult to change, and it can be very discouraging when we make the same mistakes over and over and over again. And then we give ourselves a hard time over and over and over again. But eventually we learn that we just have to pick ourselves up and keep on going. And things do change. Things do change. So I'd like to end with reading a poem I came across in the journal, our Journal of the OBC, from 1988. It's by Reverend Master Zensho, and it's called What is Faith? What is faith? Faith is meditation. It is enjoying meditation and knowing the value of choosing to sit even when you feel hesitation or resistance. Faith is the yearning to do something true, although you may not know quite what. It is endeavoring to keep the precepts carefully. It is being still, looking up, being bright as you go about your daily life. Faith is the way to keep an open mind. It is very simple, often ordinary, yet it leads beyond what you already know and understand. Protect it carefully. So, it almost makes me cry. Okay, so that's it. And thank you. Thank you all.